punch bowls, finger bowls, dinner glasses, wine glasses, ice cream dishes, bonbon dishes, decanters, and vases. For though cut glass was nothing new in the 90s, it was then especially busy reflecting the dazzling light of fashion from the Back Bay to the fastness of the Middle West. After the wedding, the punch bowls were arranged on the sideboard with the big bowl in the center. The glasses were set up in the china closet. The candlesticks were put at both ends of things. And then the struggle for existence began. The bonbon dish lost its little handle and became a pin tray upstairs. A promenading cat knocked the little bowl off the sideboard, and the hired girl chipped the middle-sized one with the sugar dish. Then the wine glasses succumbed to leg fractures, and even the dinner glasses disappeared one by one like the 10 little niggers, the last one ending up, scarred and maimed, as a toothbrush holder, among other shabby genteels on the bathroom shelf. But by the time all this had happened, the cut glass age was over anyway. It was well past its first glory on the day the curious Mrs. Roger Fairbolt came to see the beautiful Mrs. Harold Piper.
"My dear," said the curious Mrs. Roger Fairbolt, "I love your house. I think it's quite artistic."
"I'm so glad," said the beautiful Mrs. Harold Piper, lights appearing in her young, dark eyes. "And you must come often. I'm almost always alone in the afternoon." Mrs. Fairbolt would have liked to remark that she didn't believe this at all, and couldn't see how she'd be expected to. It was all over town that Mr. Freddie Gedney had been dropping in on Mrs. Piper 5 afternoons a week for the past 6 months. Mrs. Fairbolt was at that ripe age where she distrusted all beautiful women.
"I love the dining room most," she said. "All that marvelous china and that huge cut-glass bowl."
Mrs. Piper laughed, so prettily that Mrs. Fairbolt's lingering reservations about the Freddie Gedney story quite vanished. "Oh, that big bowl?" Mrs. Piper's mouth forming the words was a vivid rose petal. "There's a story about that bowl."
"Oh!
You remember young Carlton Canby? Well, he was very attentive at one time. And the night I told him I was going to marry Harold, 7 years ago in 92, he drew himself way up and said, 'Evelyn, I'm going to give you a present that's as hard as you are, and as beautiful, and as empty, and as easy to see through.' He frightened me a little. His eyes were so black. I thought he was going to deed me a haunted house or something that would explode when you opened it. That bowl came. And of course it's beautiful. Its diameter, or circumference, or something, is 2.5 feet. Or perhaps it's 3.5. Anyway, the sideboard is really too small for it. It sticks way out."
"My dear, wasn't that odd? And he left town about then, didn't he?"
Mrs. Fairbolt was scribbling italicized notes on her memory.
"Hard, beautiful, empty, and easy to see through."
"Yes, he went west or south or somewhere," answered Mrs. Piper, radiating that divine vagueness that helps to lift beauty out of time. Mrs. Fairbolt drew on her gloves, approving the effect of largeness given by the open sweep from the spacious music room through the library, disclosing a part of the dining room beyond. It was really the nicest smaller house in town, and Mrs. Piper had talked of moving to a larger one on Devereux Avenue. Harold Piper must be coining money. As she turned into the sidewalk under the gathering autumn dusk, she assumed that disapproving, faintly unpleasant expression that almost all successful women of 40 wear on the street. "If I were Harold Piper," she thought, "I'd spend a little less time on business and a little more time at home. Some friend should speak to him." But if Mrs. Fairbolt had considered it a successful afternoon, she would have named it a triumph had she waited 2 minutes longer. For while she was still a black receding figure 100 yards down the street, a very good-looking, distraught young man turned up the walk to the Piper house. Mrs. Piper and